Hello, and welcome to Heart Walk with Horses. I'm your host, Annie Cummins. This show is an extension of my blog, heartwalkwithhorses.com. I'm giving you a small glimpse into my everyday horse adventures. I will be exploring new methods and new information on the forefront from the equine world. Everything on this show is my personal experience, and I encourage you to research anything you find of interest to you. Now, without further ado, let's get on with the show. Well, welcome to another episode of Heart Walk with Horses podcast. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about patience and how patience is a virtue when it comes to working with your horses. And in the description, I mentioned that the question was, how much off time is enough time off when it comes to your horses? And it's kind of interesting because the way I came up with this title is, like I do many of my other podcasts, is it comes from my own experiences working with my horses. And recently, while I was calibrating where they are in the new framework of the program that I have set up for them, I realized that what my plan was at that point needed to be reevaluated because I noticed that they were still kind of processing. I just got this internal feeling that they're still kind of in process. Stuff was still happening. There was some changes that had occurred within their own personalities that I noticed, and I had to take some time and kind of process that myself and put it through my own little filters and fit it within my framework, as I call it. And after I sat back and thought about it, I thought, well, you know, are we really in a hurry? Me personally, I'm not necessarily an impatient person, but I wouldn't exactly say I'm patient. I'm very driven, and so I have goals, and I like to do things, and I like to be very organized. But with my horses, I've learned to have a sense of humility when I approach them now. I've done quite a bit of discussions about how I feel about humility and respect and how it relates to your horses. And really, they are very humbling when you think about it. These beautiful animals, they have a mind of their own, and when they're given free rein to express themselves in a free environment, in a comfortable environment, they definitely will let you know kind of what's going on with them. And I'm happy with that. I want a partnership, not a master-slave type of relationship with my horses, not a domineering predator versus prey type of thing. It's just not what I personally am looking for. And so one of the things I realized is that over the years, I've worked with a lot of other people, and I've been involved with other people, and I've participated in communities, and I still participate in horsemanship communities. And I've noticed that there seems to be this pressure, even among people who are like me. They kind of are free to do whatever they want when they want. There's no time commitment. I have to be at this competition or that competition. That people seem to feel pressured, like there's some sort of clock running. And so it forces them, from my experiences, them as well as me to put myself in situations that don't turn out at all like I expected. In fact, they just go terribly wrong. Because when you start pushing things that are outside of the acceptable parameters for which an animal or an individual can handle it, it can cause them to go over threshold. I know for me, if I'm pushed too hard, I can go over threshold or I could not. It just depends on the circumstance. And the more patient I am with my horses, in other words, not patience as in I'm impatient and pushy, but the more relaxed I can be within a time frame to say, oh, well, okay, I had my saddle and everything, I was ready to ride, but today just isn't the right day for whoever it's going to be. Some people may think that's just nuts. I bought this horse to ride, and by God, he's going to ride when I tell him, and da-da-da. You know what? That may work for you. It doesn't work for me in my scenario, in my framework. It's not the way I want things done. Now, there are some people out there that say, oh, you know, you need to get on that horse, and you need to dominate him, and so forth and so on. No, I don't need to do that, and so I'm not going to. I think it's incredibly ungodly. It is not what faith-based horsemanship is about. We're about kindness, about love, we're about respect and humility towards these beautiful creatures that the Lord has blessed us with. And the Bible says, blessed is he who cares for his animals. And I don't think it's caring in any way, shape, or form to be aggressive or domineering. I come from a background from a time when it was kind of looked out at like, you know, domineering and being gruff and so forth. You know, wow, look how tough that person is. They could really handle that horse. And I never felt that was for me. I'll just put it that way. And when I was younger, my first horse was really very difficult for me. He was overpowering. He was very big. I had to have a step of some sort to get on, even though I was very, very tall for my age. He was a very tall horse. He was completely different than the schooling horse I had started on, and I loved her to death. She would do anything I asked her to do. She was just so kind and patient and gentle. And instead, my parents, you know, God bless them, they bought me a horse. I couldn't really complain about that. This is an era when, you know, that was kind of a luxury item to even have a horse, let alone be able to go ride every day. And so I had people say, you know, you need to get a lot firmer with him. And I thought, I don't want to be firm. I want to have an understanding between us. And it took an awful lot of time for me. I would go out on trail rides with other groups. And then he would get to the top of the hill and decide, nah, you know what? I'm not doing this. I'm going back. And he would just completely bolt all the way back to the barn. Scared me to death. I'm trying to pull him back. He was kind of dangerous. He would run across the road. Thankfully, it wasn't a busy road, but instead of stopping and waiting and whatever, he would just bolt clean across the road, and then, God forbid, somebody would leave the doors just open enough that he could squeeze through. He would practically take my legs off. And yeah, that was kind of a dangerous situation for me. But I didn't feel like putting undue stress and pressure on him, or for me to get rough and jerk his head around or tie him or whatever the idea was back then. I didn't feel that was suitable for what I was doing. I felt like, hey, somebody else has ridden this horse and trained him well, and he understood them. So what was it about it? It wasn't because I was domineering and aggressive, because I was a small girl. I was only about 9 or 10 at the time. And so there was nothing about me that was, you know, scary to this huge, you know, 1,000-pound animal. And so I thought, what's going on here? And so I just decided that I would take time to get to know him. I thought, you know, if this is going to just be dangerous riding, you know, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take my time. And I started thinking, what if I just treat him like a friend? And I'm laughing because people used to make fun of me. They go, he's a horse, not a dog. And I thought, well, you know what? Until I can know exactly what's going on, maybe this is not the horse for me. Maybe he's just too much horse for me at this time in my life. And the only way I'm going to know that is if I give him an opportunity to show me who he truly is. And I need to do that on the ground, not on his back where it's already stressful. I didn't know what was causing that. I didn't even know his history. I knew that he was the owner's horse, and he was the one the owner had agreed to sell to my parents. And yes, the argument can be made because he was troubled or problematic or whatever, but I know the owner would never have done that with me, because it could have got me hurt. I do know the story later is, that he felt that I was the right person for that horse and that it would be totally work itself out. Which it did, but it took a lot of time and patience, and I started finding myself feeling really frustrated that my friends were off riding and trail riding, and they were laughing at me as they were leaving, going, "Oh, it's too bad your parents bought you a Mustang and a wild stallion and all this kind of stuff." And I thought, you know what? One of these days, I'm going to outride every one of y'all, and I'm going to be laughing at you because I'm going to leave you in the dust. Because me and my horse, we're going to be able to do anything together. And I kept that in my mind when I was young. And it's taken me this long to remember all the way back to that time frame, to recapture everything that made me love horses to begin with. Unfortunately, that was driven out of me by a great number of people and encounters over the years. And so I've had to go back to the beginning and reevaluate what fits within my little framework that I'm creating now to say, why do I have horses? Why do I love horses? Why did I start with horses? And it's that very horse who gave me the desire and the drive to be able to say, how many more horses are like this? And how many more horses can I help? And how many people can I encourage to stick with it in a kind, gentle way? And it was unpopular in the day. It just was. There's no way to justify it, but it just wasn't the time. And so I don't mind being out of my time. It doesn't bother me. It's a lonely, isolating feeling. Sometimes I sit here wondering if I'm only talking to myself. But if there's just one person out there who hears some of what I'm saying and it triggers for them, yeah, that's right, I remember why I got into horses, and I shouldn't let this person or that person drive me in a direction anymore. And I, for example, I remember I just wanted to learn pee off with my horses and passage. I thought it was really cool. And I went down a path that ended up making me feel very, very miserable. And I lost track of the whole reason why I even loved riding in the first place. It can happen. So this time and patience thing is really important. That time off that I gave my horses was for them to be able to calibrate and integrate into this new program, which was a really, I call it a drastic freedom move. Two of my horses, I don't think, have ever been in a freedom environment. And it didn't really occur to me that they would even want to. Not that they were in a not freedom or they were just in a confined environment, but the freedom environment they have now is complete pasture, complete freedom to go over quite a bit of acreage, and in an environment that has some wildness to it, and an environment that has, you know, they have to navigate things and learn proprioception. You know, the oldest horse I have, he's always been in an open environment ever since he was little. And I just kind of took it for granted. And that's easy to do. You get caught up in what you're doing and you go, hey, you know, what's what? But when you sit down and you look at it from your horse's perspective and ask yourself, well, what is it like for them? And you see something different about them. And then this is what happened with me recently. I had a time frame, and I said, okay, we'll see what happens when we hit that point. I felt like it was the right point. And then all of a sudden, there was this little bit of change where I thought, oh, okay. They kind of, instead of constantly kind of being up in my business, always every time I saw them, they were kind of all doting on me and everything and just all on me. I thought, okay, that's interesting. That's how they always are. All of a sudden, they kind of just chilled out in a way. It's kind of hard to explain, where they were almost blasé, And I thought, okay, that's a little scary. Have I let him go a little too rogue or what? And then I thought, well, what is too rogue? Is there even such a thing? And I started analyzing that in my mind and asking myself, is that old baggage? Is that something somebody else put in my head and made me think was a thing? And as I started reanalyzing everything that I've been told over the years and learned from other people that I'm trying to decouple from, I wanted to know, okay, so what is that? And I started analyzing it. I asked my husband, I said, how do you feel? Are they kind of responding to you this way too? And he goes, yeah, you know, lately they've kind of decided that, you know, it's not such a big deal. And I said, okay, well, how do you feel? Does it seem like they're going too rogue? And he said, no, I don't think there is such a thing. And I said, okay, good. That's kind of how I feel. Because really what I think they're doing that's so unusual is settling in. They're settling into, hey, I can go anywhere I want. I can wander around and through trees and over rocks and navigate this and navigate that. I've encountered, coyotes and raccoons and whatever's wild out there wander around. I don't have to be scared. I know what that thing is. I know what that thing is. I hear noises and I don't have to be afraid because I can go investigate it now. I hear something and I want to go look and see what it is, or something off on the hillside. I don't have to stand up here in this area up top in this kind of protected environment. I can go look. I mean, they're protected. I don't mean they're not protected. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea and think I've just let them go, you know, out in an unsafe environment. I don't do that. You trust me, one thing that I'm a little bit funny about is babying all my animals, but in this case, I've been a little more hands-off. In working with a horsemanship coach about a year or so ago, I realized, for myself, he didn't say this to me. He was really been really kind and gentle and very humble as spirit, trying to help me work through things that had me stuck. And yes, even as a trainer, we get stuck. It would be silly to say, you know, you could never get any continuing education or any of that. That would just be arrogant, in my opinion. You should always be renewing and re-upping your education and your knowledge base, because that's just part of what makes you even better. Because we're all a collection of our collected experiences and our collected education and the wisdom that we glean over time. And that's always getting better and over time. So anyway, so one of the things that we did was I kind of analyzed how I kind of was a little overly mothering, and I thought I was being kind, but really, it really isn't that kind. They need to be able to get some bumps and bruises, and I just needed to be very sure because of when I first had them all kind of in an open environment, I had to be very careful to monitor them. And so now it's just, I almost forget what it was like when I first started. And when I first started, I was really uncomfortable and I was a bit impatient in my mind going, I wonder how long this is going to take and what's going to happen and so forth. So there was some trepidation. And the one thing I remember telling myself is, you know, patience. Patience is a virtue. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing because one of the things about working with them with their unresolved traumas that they had is that just like human beings, there needs to be a time to feel comfortable to let that go without a bunch of external pressures. And the work that I do with the vagus nerve stimulation and the different homeopathic things that I do, even with myself, it takes time for the body to piece these things out and reconnect those reconnect things in a proper way where that, you know, it's, you're not in this shutdown mode or this, and I say inappropriate as in, instead of instead of understanding what's going on, there becomes this, you know, gigantic, you know, fleeing response instead of stop and analyze. And that happens from trauma, and especially when you don't know really what the trauma is from, or it's just a collection of trauma, or like, I feel like in Ransom's case, he's been horribly misjudged. That he's always been kind of what they call, what others call mouthy, and that I say he's uses his mouth to explore. He's tactile with his mouth. He's not, thankfully, he is not doing the aggressive stuff he was doing that was actually uncomfortable, painful, and difficult to deal with. I was so concerned that that would be something that would just be there, and just the patience alone to give him space to decompress whatever it is that that need was resolving is a huge benefit. Now, what happens when it comes time for me to say, okay, you know, kids, we're going to saddle up and we're going to ride now. I think we're at a point we can go ahead and do that now, and we're not going to have these terrible incidents that we've had before. I think y'all are, you're well on your way to healing. Let's test this out. Once again, that's going to be another part of the framework where we have to fill in the blanks and we have to test it out and see what it is. None of this stuff is set in stone, folks. It is not set in stone. I don't care what anybody tells you, but because everybody is a collection, they're a collection of their experiences. Nothing set in stone. No one person or one horse can ever be exactly identified to another. No matter how hard you try to be like so-and-so the trainer over here, you're never going to be able to exactly replicate anything they're doing because their experiences are theirs and your experiences are yours. Can you emulate that and put it into your own framework? Yes. So, you know, what I'm most trying to do is give you permission to say, don't let people pressure you into feeling like you've got to get something done or you're not getting enough progress. Progress is kind of not something you can measure when it comes to this, unless you sit down and say, oh, I had progress today because I went out for the first time. My horse didn't grab my shirt and pull it off of me or whatever it is. He came up, he touched me, he said hello, I said hello, and that was it. For me, that's huge progress, something that small. Did I take that as a sign that, hey, I'm going to get on and ride him now? No, I didn't, but that wasn't what I was after. And yes, I have horses because I like to ride. I have horses because I enjoy trail riding. I've always enjoyed that type of connection. And that's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life with horses, if possible. And I have had to have patience with myself as well, because my body has been injured and I've had to have recovery time for my body, because that's just the way it is. When you live a hard life like I have, and I've lived a very, very hard life, I've had a lot of trauma as well, it adds up to the body feeling like, oh, it's under attack. And I don't always get to go ride when I want to. Sometimes I can ride for 10 minutes, be okay. Sometimes I'll ride for 5 minutes and my knees start to hurt. It's just the way that it is. And so patience also works for me. And that slowing down to a slower pace and just looking at things moment to moment, just like almost minute to minute, has changed my relationship with my horses. I don't see the end of the time that we're out riding as I'm going to ride for such and such amount of time and to this spot, turn around, come back. I just say, I'm going to go to where I can go. And yeah, it's kind of tough on me sometimes because I may go a long way out in the pasture and then all of a sudden I realize, or the field or wherever I'm going here on our ranch, and I go, you know what, that's it. I mean, either I can't go any further or I don't feel like my horse can handle anymore for whatever reason. It's getting too, maybe he's triggered by something, maybe he hears the other horses calling, I don't want to pressure him. I don't want to push him over the threshold. So I have been known to dismount, take my saddle off right there, and walk back with him. And so that's another consideration I have to have, is how far am I willing to ride to then maybe possibly have to walk back, and what am I willing to allow my body to withstand? It's not that I'm not in shape. It's that my body has a difficult time sometimes. So I have to take that into consideration and be patient there. And so building up to a point where we can get back to having a relationship, to be able to just go, hey, let's go for a ride. And my horse is like, yeah, cool. Let's go look at something. Let's go see something new. I can't wait to get back on Ransom and go riding and have that fun that I felt we used to have. I feel like when I first got him, he was just so in awe of everything that was going on that he really didn't think about, he didn't really have time, I guess, to sit down to think about all the junk in his head. And then when he got in an environment where he was free to just kind of be and not be worked all the time, it started to kind of unravel for him. And I think he was uncomfortable. He became uncomfortable. That's just me and the way I assess this, because I come to it from a very emotional perspective where I care about their emotional well-being. That's why I went out in search of a coach who does emotional work with horses, because that's what I was looking for, somebody who was like-minded. Not that, oh, you know, you're babying your horse and horses are... No. You know, there is scientific proof to everything that's going on. If you read any of the neuroscience and studies with horses who are also mammals, it's very eye-opening when you look at it from that perspective. So I've been having that patience because I remember back to the first time I took him for a ride at our ranch when I brought him home. And I just remember tears of joy streaming down my face and how much I just kept thanking the Lord for giving me this horse. And that's what I want to feel again. And so I'm willing to take the time that it takes to get back to that. I have all the time in the world in reality. And that's because there's only today. And I have today. And that's plenty. So what little I do today is going to add up to that much more tomorrow. And so that's where patience is a virtue for me. And I just hope that maybe I've said something that has helped spark somebody else to realize that if you're in a lifestyle where you're feeling pressured and you don't need to, you know, maybe step back and take some time to, instead of feeling pressured to saddle your horse and accomplish this task and that task, you know, how about make sure that you can even halter your horse without them having any kind of a triggered response? And if so, why don't you take them for a walk? And you all walk together and you experience something, smell the flowers, eat some grass. I'm not telling you to eat grass. Let them eat some grass and just be friends and kind of get to know each other again. I think that has gone a long way to helping me. I've been known to just, I'm kind of the barefoot cowgirl. I run around barefoot quite a bit, and it's part of what is my rehabilitation for my back and my knees. And I run around the arena barefoot, and I roll around on the ball, and I play with them, and I do whatever it is, and I lay on the ground, and then they'll come over and lay on the ground. And I'm just trying to kind of be a horse with the horses. I'm not really expecting the horse to be a human. I think it's easier for me to be more like them than them to be like me, if I can say that. And I know this. Some of this may just sound very bizarre to some of you, but it's really just me trying to give you some encouragement that if I feel like a lot of times I'm passing things on to other people who are in in a tough spot. Maybe you're in desperation. You've tried everything. And let me tell you, folks, I have used an awful lot of techniques from an awful lot of people to formulate what I now use. That this is what makes the framework of what I'm using that is successful for me. I pick and choose from everywhere, and I formulate my own way of doing things. I'm an innovator, not an imitator. I just use what works for me, and I take whatever I've learned collectively, and I sift it out. That's what I do. I sift it out to say, okay, that didn't work, this does. And you have to be open to experimentation, because you hear something, or you read something, or you try something. You know, even if I say something, you go, well, I'm going to try that thing she said. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It doesn't mean it's bad advice. It means it didn't work for you. It's just, but maybe something in this you can take a part of and apply it to what you're doing. I do hope that those of you out there that are on a schedule, you have competition schedules, rather than to continually take your horse through these paces all the time. And I, you know, I know some of you may not like it when I say this, but I can say this from experience myself. Continually taking your horse through the paces of something they already know. You know, it goes back to the beginning. I was taught a long time ago that if you want to learn a word, for example, and if you write it out seven times, it becomes correctly. Seven times is all it takes to imprint that on your brain, and you never forget it. And so I do that with everything. If I want something done correctly, if I want something to work for me that I'm having trouble with, I do that. I do it correctly for seven times. I do the same thing with music. I've been never been taught music professionally. I just decided one day I was going to do it, and now I'm a multi-instrument recorder. I record and produce my own music. Nobody taught me. But for me to learn certain things, I just said, show it to me or give me a piece of paper that I can look at. I'll practice it seven times correctly, and I'll never forget it, and I don't. I may not always remember it right away, but when I pull it back up and I go, oh, yeah, that's right, I remember now. I'll get it back again. So if your horses have already been taught something, and I did this when I was in competition, I look back, I go, that's so stupid. Why do I have to run my horse around that pattern over and over and over again? She already knew how to do it. If you want to condition them, why not have an enjoyable ride or go out and walk with them or do something that's not pressurizing? And so that's one thing you can do from the patience aspect, is have enough patience to say, I don't have to do this today. I can go for a walk with them, or I could just take a leisurely ride or something. Because one of the hardest parts for me was, well, how am I supposed to keep my horse in condition if I don't do this? But after a while, I sort of felt like she got, you know, kind of numb and dull and was sort of like, I'm tired of doing this. She was a very highly functioning mare. She could, I let her loose one time and she ran the pattern by herself. I mean, it's not like she needed me to tell her what to do. And so a couple of times somebody said to me, can't you just take your horse out for a trail ride? I said, oh no, you know, she's a high, you know, performance horse and so forth and so on. We don't go trail riding. And, da, 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 da. And one day a friend of mine said, that must really suck. And I was like, what? She says, that sucks. How do you even enjoy having a horse if you're under all of this stress and everything? She said, well, I'm sorry. And she's, but I'm going. If you want to go with me, I'm going. And I just sat down that one day and I go, you know what? Nobody's looking. You know, nobody's judging. What would happen if I took her out and I rode her? Well, you know, maybe she could get cut or maybe this or maybe that. It's like, you know what? If I put the boots on and I do all that, and I put protective gear on, what's the big deal? And I did. I got the courage and I said, I'm going to break with tradition and I'm going to do something nobody else does. And it was amazing. I went on the most amazing trail ride with my friend. We gave her the best conditioning we could for the day. It was just a walk. And we had an amazing time. I had a good time. My horse had a good time. We came back. We were both very relaxed. And the very next day, she had the best times ever. Now, to me, that just speaks volumes. And so I started making it a point to go out and do other things with her to condition, because I felt like when she got to the arena, she knew what she was supposed to do. And if I let her do her job and I didn't micromanage her, then we both would be happier at the end of it. So whatever it is that I might, you know, impart here, I'm just really grateful for. I just pray that the Lord is giving me words of wisdom that I can give to others. I just want y'all to know with my heart, I'm really putting my heart out there for you, to encourage you. I want you to feel like you have permission to do what it is you want to do. I mean, don't get stagnant. I did that. It took me this many years and several hours of coaching to get to the root of what was happening for me. And it all came down to, I completely lost everything that was dear to me, that I lost the vision and the passion because it got drummed out of me. I allowed other people to manipulate me into thinking that I needed to do this or that or the other thing. And I lost my framework. And even though I helped other people to ride and I taught them how to do different things over the years and I did good with that, I myself wasn't really able to reconnect. And it's just kind of a weird dichotomy. So now I'm back in focus, I call it. I'm back in focus. I know what it is I like to do. And now I'm just giving this time for the horses to kind of give me the green light to say, you know what, I'm good now. And it's going to take me actively getting on and testing it. And I'm hoping to be able to report back to you all some more things to say, okay, this is what I tried. This is the result. And I don't want to be one of these people that says, yeah, you know, this is my way and this is how you do it, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not a living example of actually doing it. I don't want to be hypocritical in any way and not humble in that I this is not my way. This is just a collective bit of information that I want to share with others and hope that it works for you. And I dearly do hope that if y'all are out there listening because you are in a situation you want new information, I hope this does help you. I do. And I hope you hang in there with me. I'm really looking forward to beginning this this new implementation where I'm actually going to say, okay, it's time to start getting on. We're going to do some stuff. I have to implement more things with some hoof care now. And I also have to play it by ear. We've, you know, here in the Texas Hill Country, the weather's been a bit odd. We've gone from below zero to now today is something like 75 degrees. And I'm just praying that we don't have another nightmarish Swedish problem. And I'm grateful for the rain. Praise God for the rain. But there's all these different factors like that, plus this horrid wind. And I don't know about y'all, but I absolutely don't like to ride outside in the wind. It just is very kinetically messed up for me and the horses. So we may be doing a little bit of arena work and I kind of want to be out in the out in nature with them more than kind of inside, if we can help it. So anyway, I kind of wanted this to be short, sweet. I've probably ran longer than I had intended, but I just wanted to share my heart with you. I want to share a little bit about what patience means to me and what I think it means to my horses. And I want to give you permission to if you feel you need somebody to validate you on that, I do validate you. Take that time and give that patience to your horses, and don't let anybody pressure you into something different. It will benefit both of you in the long run, and you'll be much happier because finding your way back from feeling lost, it's not a fun journey, and I don't wish that on anybody. And if my experience was so that I could do this very thing, I'm grateful for it. But I wouldn't want to relive it again. I can say that right now. So with that, I just want to say I hope you all have a really blessed day. God bless you. I love you in Christ Jesus. And know that I'm thinking about all of you every single day and what I can do to help benefit you or encourage you in your journey. You know what? Enjoy the ride. You're saddled up and hang in there. It's totally worth it. So this is Annie signing out. You have a blessed day.
Thank you for tuning in today. As always, may the Lord bless you and keep you on your journey, heart walking with horses.